In September 1982, Ronald Reagan dispatched U.S. Marines to Lebanon, telling the American people, "We owe it to ourselves and to our children. The whole world will be a safer place when this region, which has known so much trouble, can begin to know peace instead." His predecessor, Jimmy Carter, had declared that the United States would not tolerate any threats to our oil, as was commonly said at the time, but Reagan was not talking about warning off oil poachers in the Persian Gulf. By casting a local mashup of ethnic and religious vendettas and Israeli and Syrian maneuvering for territorial advantage as a cause with global consequences and multi-generational importance to all Americans, Reagan had fired the starting gun of a U.S. race to dominate the Middle East. 34 years later, Barack Obama told a former Senate colleague, "There is no way we should commit to governing the Middle East and North Africa. That would be a basic, fundamental mistake." Donald Trump, in the wake of a devastating Iranian air attack on two Arabia American Oil Company, Aramco, installations that took half of Saudi production offline, tweeted that, "We don't need Middle Eastern oil and gas." He then cast doubt on Iranian responsibility and declared that if the United States did intervene on the kingdom's behalf, it would be purely on a fee-for-service basis. How did we go from a belief that a regional tussle over a small patch of land was a historic battle that would affect the entire world to an apparent rejection of the Middle East as an arena for U.S. military intervention? The aim of this book is to explore the reasons for the rise and fall of American engagement in the Middle East from 1979 to the present day. It is a tale of gross misunderstandings, appalling errors, and death and destruction on an epical scale. According to Brown University's 2021 Cost of Conflict report, the United States incurred $8 trillion in costs to wage the post-9/11 wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which claimed over 900,000 lives and displaced millions. The number of Iraqis killed in the first Gulf War and in the ensuing decade by sanctions is estimated by demographers in the hundreds of thousands. This book describes the impact on the region of a great power whose policymakers, sophisticated, ethically inclined, superbly educated, certain of U.S. interests, took understandable pride in their intentions while discounting the disastrous consequences of their actions. Cycles of foreign engagement and retrenchment have churned since the earliest years of the American Republic. But none has been so prolonged and dramatic as that between the fall of the Shah of Iran during the Carter presidency and the collapse of the U.S. position, or illusions about it, in the Middle East during Barack Obama's administration. The open contempt of Gulf states and Israel, the failure of a vast effort to arm and train Syrian rebels, the shit show, as Obama described it, of intervention in Libya, the stalled attempts to foster democratic transitions during the Arab Spring, the rise of the Islamic State, the inability to forge a durable constituency for a nuclear deal with Iran, and a bitter end to the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Obama's successor, Donald J. Trump, acquiesced in this situation while denying it and, where he could, exploiting it for personal or political gains. This paradigm of engagement and retrenchment began more than two centuries ago when the United States, then a tiny country with almost no foreign presence, was forced to defend its sailors and trade against the hostage-taking privateers of North Africa's Barbary Coast. Those maritime campaigns, waged by the Adams, Jefferson, and Madison administrations, have little popular resonance today. But they shaped the way Americans thought of their country's role in the world, as well as their attitudes toward Muslims.